for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, April 10th, 1982, Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Spring Convention. Dr. Haggard is the teacher of the morning.
We're going to have a good time this morning, and, you know, actually what it is, we're just going to study Scripture this morning. The purpose of this, in the first place, I don't think there's anybody here, but what isn't here, because they realize they need more power of God in their lives. And so, as far as I'm concerned, my whole, I guess I'm going to talk three times, this morning, tonight, and Sunday morning, and my whole concentration is going to be how to get the power of God in your life. And then, if there's a second title, it's how a father can take control of his home and how God has set up a plan for the home to be victorious. People call me, and they've been in church for 30 years, and they've just got the third daughter divorced. And everything is just falling apart. And yet they are religious. They're Christians. But they don't know, they haven't been able to get control of their home. And then in many cases, the father doesn't know he's supposed to be in charge of his home. Then, in some cases, there isn't a father in the home. The mother's raising the kids by herself. And sometimes it's just a grandmother trying to teach her family how to get the power of God. And we are instructed very definitely to teach our children, you see. So what we're trying to do today is, and tomorrow, is to cover the scriptures that makes every person a miracle worker. You see, for years and years, we went to church, watched the preacher perform, went home and lived just like we always lived. Then went back the next Sunday, watched him perform again, never dreaming that there was anything except heaven for the Christian when the Christian died, and that our lives, well, you know, everybody, I always thought there was supposed to be something more, but I just couldn't get a grip on it. And nobody told me anything. And then, lo and behold, after 30 years in church, I found out I wasn't even born again. And that's a handicap. And so, you see, there may be people here that are wondering why they can't get the power of God in their lives that aren't born again, that aren't born again scripturally. And I don't care. We've got to realize in saving our children and our grandchildren, we've got to realize God's stipulation for saving them, see? And the scripture, lo and behold, says you can't save them any day you get ready. No way. When you walk, you can go down here at the racetrack and you say, I'm going to find somebody, you know, I'm going to witness to people. Well, you might talk to 100 people, and 10 of them might tell you, yes, I'll accept the Lord, and say, yes, I am born again, I receive him, and so forth. And it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Just waste of time. And the Bible spells that out, and we're going to look at some of those scriptures to see where that dividing line. But I think the first thing, those of, I know desperate people when you meet them, and you know sincere people when you meet them. And I think the biggest thing you have to do and decide to do is to get rid of the phony love you've been taught. Church has been so full of phony love, you know. You're supposed to love everybody, and you don't dare tell anybody off, or you don't dare tell anybody that they're going to hell, or that you don't dare. All you want to do is just tell them Jesus loves you, brother. And just keep harping that old tune, you know. Get a bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you. You know, I'm suspicious of that. I don't think he does love everybody. The scriptures don't even say that. He hates wickedness. He hates evil. How in the world could you go around hollering everybody Jesus loves you when he says himself, I hate wickedness. I deplore evil. Suffer not a witch to live. If there's anybody in this audience practicing witchcraft, I want to tell you, you got about 30 minutes to get out of here. Because God says, suffer not a witch to live, and we're going to read God's judgment on you. And God's judgment's hotter than anything you've ever experienced. And I tell you, you've got no place in this meeting. Now, if you come to get cleaned up of witchcraft, that's different. Then you've got a repentant heart. You've got a broken attitude. And God knows your heart. But if you came to put curses on these people, then you might be dead before noon. And I'm serious. We're going to see people die. Madeline O'Hara cannot live. Listen, we're going to read a few scriptures that God has already pronounced on Madeline O'Hara, or whatever her name is. And O'Hara, I guess. I get O'Hara Airport and her mixed up. But anyway, the first thing that you see, there's certain things that an overcomer has to learn to do. And the first thing we're going to do is do it as properly as possible to bind the strong man over this meeting and over this property. And there's a few refinements that we've added that have, I'd say that the efficiency of the power of God in our little group has doubled or tripled in the last year just because of some little techniques we've added. And one of the techniques that we've added is the technique in binding the strong man. And in binding the strong man, we used to just say, I bind the strong man. And this is verified in Mark 3, when Jesus Christ said, I believe it's Mark 3:27, when he said, how else can you enter a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man? Let's just look at that. I hope we have time to come back and clean up all of the residue that we start. And Mark 3:27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Okay? Now, Jesus Christ said that you're not going to spoil the devil's playhouse or setup unless you bind the strong man first. So he left a very strong prerequisite in the fact that binding the strong man must be done. Now, so we're going to go on from there in just a moment, but let's just first, our present method is we bind the strong man over, let's just bind the strong man over over Arkansas. Now, the binding of the strong man about 3 years ago commenced with Glenn and Irma and the other people down here that learned to bind and loose. And I think it's been said by this man that's come out of the one of the witches' covens here that the witches' covens in Arkansas started to break up about 3 years ago. Now, you're going to see that. See, Satan's hurting all over the United States because of binding and loosing. And you're going to see him become more vicious and more vicious on earth where he has some power all the time and attack the family harder because he's more desperate. And I'll show you a scripture in a minute, you see, where part of our job is, that is part of the job of freeing the creation today, and it's also our end time job. Don't let anybody tell you that the end is near. Jesus never said that. The end is not near. We've got so much work to do. And Thessalonians warns about it. You see, let no man deceive you or worry you about the end times. That's ridiculous. My heavenly days, what kind of an army have we got yet? See, and God's developing an army, and I'll show you in Corinthians 15th chapter, 24 to 26 verse, where we're going to whip all of Satan's armies, and then Jesus Christ is going to turn it back over to the Father. And then the end will come. See? So we're a long ways from the end. Not only that, we don't have to fear the end. Like Glenn says, I want to... I hadn't ever heard about that girl having that prophecy where people were protected, but that verifies, that's scriptural. The overcomer is the only one totally protected. And so we'll look at those scriptures too. But anyway, we bind the strong man over Arkansas, and we bind the prince of power of the air over the strong man over Arkansas. And we ask the Father to send angels and sever the power between Satan and the strong man over Arkansas. Now, in Deuteronomy 1:28, it says that the cities were walled to the heavens. Now, that means that Satan has set up principalities, powers, authorities from the ground clear up to Satan. You see, Satan is just one individual. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He only has a very rigid authority and control through his evil spirit. And so he's setting up there, and he's got to have control through principalities, kings, world rulers, right down to the ground. And only one angel is all it takes. One angel killed 185,000 Syrians, but I always ask for legions of angels, to go and sever, you see, the communication force and the force between the devil and the strong man, and that puts the strong man over Arkansas out of business, as far as any power from Satan is concerned. Now, then, we bind the strong man over Hot Springs, and we bind the strong man over this Lake Hamilton campground, and we bind the strong man over this meeting, and we bind the strong man over every individual here. Now, if you want to see Jesus' description of deliverance in Luke 11, seems like it's just a little warm in here, Glenn. I don't know, maybe... if there's any way to turn the heat down or let some air in or something. I know you've got a modern system of cooling. But in Luke 11, Jesus said in the 21st verse, well, it's a very... you're familiar with the scripture, the 20th verse, Luke 11, 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, the kingdom of God is within you, you see. When a deliverance worker comes upon a person and practices deliverance, why, the kingdom of God has come upon that person, and we'll talk about that in a minute in the way of power and so forth. And in 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now, first you got to understand what a strong man is. Your dog at home has a strong man. And the way, you see, there's evil spirits from about that tall. Oh, just little bitty things playing around. They play with kids. They look harmless, you know. And sometimes they are just playmates for babies and stuff. And sometimes when a baby says that he's got a, that he's talked to someone in the bedroom, you know, and played with someone, why, they'll say, oh, the folks are so thrilled because it's his guardian angel talking to him. No, it's not his guardian angel talking to him. It's a little evil spirit that's playing with him. And they talk to him, and they play with him, they tickle their toes, and they just have a big time, you know. And then they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's some of them as big as the pictures of the old dinosaurs. Now, you get one of those things in you, and that's the kind that's really hard to get out. But they can get in you. And they're that big. They stand 30, 35, 40 feet tall. They're huge. And they're evil spirits. Now, they vary in that size, you see. Now, then there's a tremendous war going on earth among the evil spirits for rank. And the only way they win their rank is to win, to be able to whip everything around it. So, they don't like it very well, but the strong man over your dog is kind of in a disgraceful position as far as a strong man over a state's concerned, but that's all he can whip right there. That's all the stronger he is. Then the strong man over a person has whipped everything else around and is holding you and me, see, by strength, by his ability to whip everything else around him. That's the war that's going on among the evil spirits. I'm just trying to describe why a strong man's called a strong man. He's the strongest in that area to hold what he controls. Now, the strong man over the Methodist Church here in Little Rock has whipped all the other spirits that wanted to be strong man over that Methodist Church. And he holds that position as strong man. So what I'm, you see, we have a little better relationship, better concept as to why Jesus said you can't enter a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. He has won that position because of his strength. Okay? So he says, when a stronger, then he shall come upon him, which is the Holy Spirit. See? The Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just go back, just hold your finger in that, and go back to Jeremiah 31:11. In Jeremiah 31:11, it makes a very interesting statement. And it'll give you a new appreciation of what Jesus Christ did for us. And why we're living in an age that is unprecedented in any way. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Hey, that's us. See, we're now Jacob. We're now Israel. We are spiritually Jacob, see? And ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Now, in Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, it says that we were born in sin, and the devil was our father. And we were subject to the devil's conversations and wishes. So we were born, up until the time we're born again and receive Jesus spiritually, the devil is stronger than us. I want you to understand that. There is no such thing as a strong-willed man whose will is stronger than the devil that's unsaved. The Bible testifies that. There just isn't such a thing as a man lifting himself by the bootstraps, and there isn't such a thing as a self-made man. Because the devil's always stronger than that man. Now, when a person moves in to the realm of being born again, then what Jesus Christ said begins to make some sense, and we should look at this with our children, see? Now, this tells you one thing. There's no use to deliver an unsaved person unless your delivering him is going to break the bondage so he can receive the Lord. If you're led to, you can break the bondage on an unsaved person. Man, we've had a lot of crazy people that were set free in our meetings and then received the Lord and hold their deliverance. You see. So, you can't make a blanket statement, I will not deliver an unsaved man or an unsaved woman. Here's a unsaved person that just wants to get free of smoking, but they don't want to get saved. So there's no use to delivering them from smoking because Satan's stronger than him. See? The Bible declares it. And so the only way they can take charge of their life is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and have a spiritual rebirth. Now, I think it's important right now that we examine why our children must be saved and why our families must be saved. And if in 2 Corinthians, these are old scriptures, but you see, we don't look at them enough. And the Lord wants us to know these things so that we can receive the power of God in our life. They're a primary teaching that every child of God must know and every overcomer must know. Now in 2:14, 2 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, not the things of the Spirit of God. What I'm trying to say is, let's see, this is 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. But the natural man receiveth not the Spirit, things of the Spirit of God. 90% of the Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Nazarenes, I don't know how far it goes, are not saved spiritually. They're saved the way that Paul described them right here in, if you'll just look at chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, and start at the first verse. Now, Paul is talking about, listen, we're surrounded with witchcraft. Our churches are full of witchcraft. Do you know the definition of a charmer by the Bible? It is the manipulation of bringing minds into unity by the manipulation of man, by flesh. Anybody that practices the bringing the minds into one agreement with fleshly power is a charmer, according to the Bible, and practicing witchcraft. And that can be done with music. That can be done with songs. That can be done with eloquent words. That can be done with poetry. Emotionalism. Soul power. Salesmanship. I was a salesman for 10, 12 years. I was a salesman. Veterinarian. And I'm telling you, I could just put the audience 4 feet off the ground with soul power. Witchcraft. I burnt $15,000 worth of tapes and books to get rid of witchcraft in my life. At that time, I didn't know it was witchcraft. I'm sure glad I didn't, because I'd have felt badder, worse. But it was witchcraft. I called it soul power, mind control, you see. But our churches are full of it. Salesmanship, yes. All right. Charming is, well, I can read the definition out of Strong, but it could be real simple. It's the influence of the bringing together into one agreement, two people with any kind of power besides the Holy Spirit. See, that's what charmer is. Oh, wait till you get to sorcery. Well, I tell you what, sorcery Oh, my. See, for a long time, we got an occult list in our books. So I imagine, Mr. Badgett, you've heard me say this, that I know coffee's sorcery, but as soon as I quit it, I'll list it. Now, sorcery, what sorcery is the compounding in any way of materials by brewing, grinding, or smoking purposes and taking into the body to have an effect upon the mind or body. See, that's sorcery. Okay. Well, it is the mixing or grinding or preparation of chemicals or materials to be induced into the body to have an effect upon the mind or the body. That smoking of any kind, of anything, that is alcohol, drinking alcohol. It would be drinking tea and drinking coffee. Very clear. I mean, it's just one of those things. Look, we're surrounded. The devil has... You want to realize that the devil's whole plan as God of this world is to quench the Spirit of God. And as you walk through the worldly, anywhere, the department stores, any place in the world, you can see... If when you become discerning of these things and know what they are and aware of them, that's why our kids have to be taught about them, why, then you can see that we're just trapped everywhere to quench the power of God. Quench prayer. Quench growth. Quench everything. Trap the kids young so they can't grow and be free, you see. Harlan Dean told me a terrific story about down there in Beaumont, one of the little kids in his group, why he... went over to a table where they were playing Dragons and Dungeons in the school. And he looked at that book. And he told his daddy he felt something hit him in the shoulder when he was looking at that Dragons and Dungeons book. And the child was smart enough to know something had happened to him. So the daddy and the group delivered him of the spirit. The spirit manifested that had entered him. And it was curiosity and what was it, Harlan? Yeah, curiosity, Dragons and Dungeons, and... several other demons. We had a girl that came for deliverance in our group, and she picked up a book on biofeedback and something else and received five spirits from just picking up the book. See, Satan's loaded waiting. We're surrounded by witchcraft. We have to learn how to defend ourselves. We got to learn we're in a war. We have to teach our kids they're in a war. This, look, I know. See, the kids won't think you're oddballs when they understand the power of God. When they're truly born again, spiritual children, in the power of God, seeing the power of God, there's no generation gap. There's only a closeness, and the family becomes a fortress, you see, to stand for God. And that's why we're examining these scriptures, because it's the scriptures that give us the power. We got to be grounded in the truth. What is truth? Well, that's what the Bible says. See, I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying there's more. Okay? The Word of God, you see, He said, Jesus, truth, the reason that people can't make decisions and vacillate this way is because they have no stability in their life and no truth. They have no anchor. And so here comes a girl. She grows up and goes to school. And here comes a great big old muscular boy that she's always dreamed of. Oh, I wonder if I'm in love. He don't want to marry her. He just wants to live with her. So she moves in with him. It's all right, Daddy. It's just, you know what I mean. We're not serious or anything. But we're just, you know, we're seeing if we like each other. Now, would she had any trouble of deciding whether she moved into that boy or not if she had been anchored in the truth? She'd have known it was sin. Because the Word of God says it's sin. You see, she would have known down in the deep, dark Africa why there was a guy in a tent, and he woke up one morning, there was a nest of cockroaches in his tent. And he thought, well, God created them. What'll I do with those creatures of God? So he got up and put them in a paper sack, walked 3 miles into the jungle and turned them loose. Albert Schweitzer, humanist. He has no anchor in his life to make a decision. He didn't know it said God gave us dominion over the earth. And if they're nuisances and parasites, we're to stamp them out. They had no business in his tent. Eliminate them. You see, he didn't have that kind of backbone. He was a vacillator. Now, if our kids aren't anchored in the truth, you see, so they can't receive anything of God that says unless they are spiritual. Take that frown off your face. Why, sure. But he was the greatest humanist of all time. That's what's ruined America today is the humanism. But the thing of it is, we must be anchored in the truth, you see. And we're going to study some scriptures in the morning. I mean, after a while, that show that. But you see, the truth is described as the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Gospel, the Scriptures, and there are several more. But I want to give you one of the most important: the Church is the truth. Now, if the church is the truth, we got a bunch of frauds because they're not the truth. And the church, what is described scripturally as a body of believers brought together to manifest the power of God. It was never designed by God in the scriptures to bring a bunch of unsaved people to prove God to them. That's of the devil. That is where the power of God starts getting diluted. And if you see let's just one scripture on the church, and it ought to give you an idea of what God's talking about. Just look at 1 Timothy 3:15. Now just hang on to all these other scriptures where we are, and we'll get back to them in a minute. 1 Timothy 3:15. Very interesting reading. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now look, the body of believers is alive. And when you come into a body of true believers, when you have a prayer meeting, what you said about a prayer meeting, Glenn, and have people come into it, look, if you don't know them, and if you have any doubts about them, you can tell them the prayer meeting is a closed group. You'd be better off without them than with somebody that disagrees. I don't want to discourage you from sending me stuff, but people send me tapes. And I know the people's stand on deliverance is weak, and I just toss them in the wastebasket. Look, I know. See, the thing I fear the most is to lose my strong relationship with God as far as deliverance, healing, and being honest in the Lord's Word. I fear the loss of that more than anything. And I will not even associate or tolerate any chance of any deception slipping in. It's not worth it. And I'm very careful. I tell you, I cleaned out my tape library. I cleaned out my books. In Matthew 16, see, there's a very important statement there. And now, Father, I just ask you to loosen to every mind here wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and to bring us about, Father, by the Holy Spirit, and make us one mind, one accord, and so that we can see the true meaning of your word. Now, here's what Jesus said. Go to Matthew 16 along about 13 is a good place to start. And Jesus said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In 14, he said, well, some of them say you're John the Baptist, some say Isaiah, some say Jeremiah, and some say other prophets. Then in 15, he said, but whom say ye that I am? Now, this is really important. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, look what Jesus said to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What Jesus was saying, the only person, the only person that can tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God is the Father up in heaven. No man can tell you. The Holy Spirit's got to be working. That's what Paul meant when the power of God has to be upon you. And then you'll know. Man can't tell anybody anything about Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God. And that's what's the matter with our... We look at our religion today, and it's dead. No power. Because man thought they were telling everybody and teaching everybody. But they were teaching without the power of the Father. Now, to further verify this, go to John 6. It just changes a person's whole outlook of soul winning, see? Now, in John 6 and 29, these guys, 28, these guys were following him all over, watching these miracles. He had fed 5,000 of them the bread. And he said, you're following me just for meat. You're not interested in the real miracles. And then they said, well, they said in 28, then said they unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. What he was trying to tell them is, it's the work of God in your heart that you can believe on the thought that the Father sent me and I am the Son of God. It is the work of God in your heart. Now, he's four times, he tried to confirm that to them and tell them again. And in 37, verse 37, 6th chapter, he said, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him I will no way. See, all that the Father giveth me. Then go to 44. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent him, draw him. Number 45, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of me, which means been taught of me, the Father cometh unto me. Then in 65, he capped it off again and said, therefore said I, unto him, unto you, that no man can cometh unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look, the thing that ought to be told the lost souls of today, when God draws you, you better respond. You might be dead before you get another chance. I've talked to boys and they said, no, I'm going to get saved the Sunday my girl gets saved. See, we're going to go down and get saved together. Well, that just don't work. Look, God has to do a work in your heart. Now, he verified that as a new work in Jeremiah 31:31, when he said that a new covenant... See, we're living under a brand new agreement with God. And, boy, it's wonderful. And I tell you, look, when you are spiritually reborn, no man need teach you. And we'll go to that in just a minute. 31, behold, the day, Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. 33, but this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Up until Jesus Christ died and paid the price, it was impossible to be a spiritual man and receive spiritually and spiritual instruction from God. But he says, once you become spiritual, there's a scripture wall back there, Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, I am capable, and I know the thoughts I think toward you. God wants to fill us with his thoughts. And maybe we'll have time to talk about that just a little while this afternoon. But the spiritual goal you ought to have in your mind is from God. God wants to counsel you, guide you, instruct you. He says when you lay there asleep at night, he's beaming thoughts at you just as hard as he can. And it's described in the Bible. We'll get those scriptures in just a minute. But God is shaping your thoughts. When you sleep, it says, He instructs me in my sleep. It's a wonderful thing to be a spiritual child of God. You see, that's why deliverance is necessary, to get that crud out of our mind. Get the doubt and unbelief and all of the crap and stuff that's stopping God from feeding our mind. 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now turn to 1 John 2:27. See, it's that same thing is repeated in the New Scripture, in the New Testament. Oh, I tell you, God has said it all in his Word. If we knew what was in this word, we wouldn't have any sickness. We wouldn't have any problems. Every word we spoke would just be so powerful if we just really knew the Word of God. But how many will have to admit we've started a little late? You know, we've just started a little bit late. And that's why I think that we've got to get honest with God. See, if there's any deceit in your heart and you're not here to really serve God and to learn about God and to learn more about God, and if you're not honest with God, God's the first guy that knows it. And he only honors the honest heart. Otherwise, he says he'll reward our ways the way we're designed. Okay, in 27 it says, but the anointing which ye received of him. Now, keep your finger there and go back to John 15:16. I just want to tell fathers and mothers, in a home filled with power and where kids have been delivered from the womb up, let's say that from the time of conception, you keep a baby delivered, and you keep a baby delivered from the crib and in the crib and so forth, and just keep him delivered and keep him covered with the power of God, he'll be born again at 3 or 4 years old. He'll be speaking in tongues at the age of 6. There you go. See? Testimony right there. See, I went 3 years when I was, I don't know how old, 45, 50 years old, trying to speak in tongues. Desperate. Speaking tongues. But I had so much stuff to get out of the way. You see, but a child, that proves, you see, that you raise a child up clean and delivered. They get born again. They're spiritual children of God when we start to follow God's commandments in the home. Those kids, when they have a cold coming on or a sickness coming on or a pain hit them, they'll just, I say, I rebuke you, Satan. They'll learn that. Satan knows he's an illegal trespasser, and those kids won't get sick. There's no way those kids can get cancer, tumor, polio, or anything else. Because they're the powerhouse. Their father's covering them. Their mother's covering them, you see. I tell you, we've just got such a blessing to pursue and to possess. Now, John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Now, I pondered on that for a long time. But here's why he says it this way. If you were going along downtown, and there was a little kid down there digging crust of bread out of the garbage can, and you had a nice home of your own, and you said to this kid, "Well, look, do you have a place to stay?" And he would say, "No, could I come live with you?" You'd say, "Well, yes, you could come live with me." Well, see, he asked you. He actually chose you. So a year goes by, and he starts complaining about the milk's tasting, the oatmeal's bad, and he'd like to have a steak once in a while. So you tell that kid, "Now, look, you ask me to come live with me, and you'll eat what I feed you." Now, the Lord says, "You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you." Let's say that you say to that kid, "Oh, honey, I tell you what, you come live with me. You come and be my boy." And then a year from there, he says, "Hey, the milk tastes bad. I'll fix it. The oatmeal's a little gummy. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right in the morning. I'd like to have a steak once in a while." You'll get it. See, the difference is God's responsible for us. He has chosen us. Now let him do it. See, he says, "Ask, ask, ask. Command the works of my hands." Look, you're a special people. Quit worrying about the lost world. And only be concerned about your brothers and sisters and you. And then we're to look so good, so wealthy, so everything God wants us to have, that the rest of them want to be like us. See, God's working with the world. And through phony love and phony soul winning and all this kind of stuff and trying to feed the world, we have deferred God's work. We've handicapped him. So he says, you see, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you," which means anointed you. You must understand that every believer in this room that's a believer has the same power that the guy sitting next to you. You've got the same potential for power. You've got the power to cure yourself of arthritis. You've got the anointing within you that's just as strong as Glenn Miller has. Now, whether you let it work or not, that's what we're trying to learn this morning, see? And, well, praise God. See, you want to, every father has to realize he's as powerful as a preacher. Every father has to realize that he's as powerful as Billy Graham. Look, the Bible doesn't give an evangelist, a pastor, or any of those guys any special power any more than the run-of-the-mill believer. Agreed? And you can't show me a place where any person after Jesus Christ did what he did so we could become spiritual people, no one was more powerful than the other. We've all got the potential for the same power of God to flow through us, you see. How wonderful that is. Oh, I tell you, thank you, Father. I wouldn't change that up for anything. I wouldn't even change any of his setup, would you? Now, "And go and bring forth fruit that your fruit might remain." Now, that fruit is another believer. And the reason you got to have power, see, that is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is some characteristics brought about, within you brought about. This fruit is another believer. It's carpos, ready to be picked off the tree. Our job, the reason we're ordained, is to become so powerful that we can make another miracle worker, which is our children first, our brothers and sisters, increase their power, and then look so good that other people, when the Lord brings them to us, we teach them how to get the power of God in their life. Here's the trick of Satan. If you can't teach it, leave it alone. If you see somebody stagger into a meeting. Oh, I see snakes all over this place. Boy, you're in bad shape. You got snakes hanging on you. There's a big collie dog laying back there. They say, what a man of God. Maybe 8 people out of 10 that walk up to him just fall out. Witchcraft. It's a hangover from the occult. See, drugs and occult break the barriers down in their mind to give these people the ability to see spirits that we're not supposed to see. Now, discernment of spirits is a printout of the spirit you're dealing with, just like a thought in your mind. And occasionally, God does let you see one so that he can to help you deal with it. But only occasionally. And the people that have been into drugs and the occult, they get them mixed up. They can't tell the difference. The teachings of Jesus Christ is so simple, you can teach them to any kid. In fact, some half-wits can learn them. But you want to remember that any time you make them complicated, they're not a god. Paul warns about it. They're the vanity of man. The teachings of Jesus Christ is simple, teachable. Taught to anybody in power, they can become a powerhouse. Now, this is kind of a crude illustration, but in order to... You all know what rabies is. We send a lot of heads into the state to get them tested for rabies after a dog bites something else or a coon bites something else. And it is a scientific fact that if that animal doesn't have rabies by the lab test, it cannot produce rabies. Now, it is a fact that if a believer doesn't have the power of God in their life, they can't produce another believer and transfer the power of God. See, the laying on of hands. We're going to study the soul this afternoon, and we're going to use these batteries as an example of the soul. And I not mean this afternoon, I mean tonight. And we're going to talk about the fragmented soul and so forth and how it becomes fragmented and what we found out about that and about energy fields and so forth. But the thing of it is, we should be so powerful. See, the thing that will restore this woman's hands and old is for some believer to sit and hold that hand about 30 minutes a day and let the power and the virtue go from them into her. You see. Now, that's the hard way to do it. We know God could just like that, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He could, but does he very often? No. He wants a believer to work. But when you sit with a baby and you take that baby in your arms, oh, the positive power is flowing from you, the believer, into that baby, driving out the negative forces. Look, 80 to 90% of deliverance occurs with no manifestation. See? Isn't that wonderful? Your baby is losing spirits all the time when that believing grandmother loves it, see? That's right. You just sit and rock that baby and hold it to you. The power is flowing out of you into that baby, and the evil spirits know it. And the baby's getting rid of arthritis, getting rid of harlotry, rape, incest, all those bad spirits, you see. And that's the time to get rid of them. That's why the victory is in the home, you see. Okay, so in order to finish this, then he goes ahead and says, your fruit remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Now let's go back over to 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him, listen, read that carefully and mark it well. I hope you have a King James translation. If you don't, why, most translations read close to the same. The anointing which ye received of him, Jesus Christ, lives in you. How many times have you heard him say, oh, that was an anointed message this morning? Oh, that was, the anointing was so strong. Fraud. Just a good thermostat. Just smooth words. Look, the anointing is the same all the time. There isn't any more spatial anointings. It's Jesus Christ in us, and the anointing lives in us, and anything other, be careful, it might be witchcraft. The manipulation of men's mind with music and beautiful words and comfortable seats, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we really don't. See, we really don't. But I'll tell you what, and then you. Unless the Holy Spirit's working, it doesn't do any good to teach. See, that's exactly right. But God knew that we were lazy. And He knew that we weren't going to dig in His Word. So we'd be better off hearing it some of the time. And when the Holy Spirit is working, then it's getting it in you. See, just knowing the Word of God isn't the answer. Because there's scriptural drunks on Skid Row that know the Bible better than we do. And there are people come to us for deliverance that know the Bible better than we do. But they still are nuts. But when the Holy Spirit can work in you and put that into your spirit, see, it has to go into your spirit. Yeah. And restore, restoration.
Yeah, adjustment will balance out the body.
You bet.
Ministries are for a balancing process until okay. We all come into the perfect knowledge
of Jesus Christ. Right. We do need, there are gifts of pastors and teachers, and we're not playing that down at all. We're just saying, let them come out of the body of believers truly called by God.
Amen.
See, with a true calling on their lives. We just don't like the phonies that the devil sent in to deceive. And Paul describes them real well. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Well, we're going to stop for lunch.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.